so should we move to item 10?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, and I think what we'll do is we'll postpone our update from the, our liaison from State Water Board until tomorrow. Maybe we can take that up as one of our first items tomorrow. But I don't think he's available. Steve is not available for the rest of the day. Okay, so moving on to item 10. Item 10 is our enforcement report in its relatively new format. This enforcement report covers actions taken during the period from December 1st, 2016 through March 31st, 2017, as reflected in tables 1 through 3 in your enforcement report. And this report also covers discharger reported violations for the period from October 1st through December 31st, 2016. Staff is evaluating these violations to determine priority and if enforcement actions will be taken in those cases. Also, I want to call your attention to page 2 of the enforcement, page 2 still in table 1 of the enforcement report. To a penalty assessed against the city of Paso Robles for $495,000. Consistent with the State Water Board's enforcement policy, we targeted approximately half of this amount toward a yet-to-be-identified project relating to sustainable groundwater management plan development or implementation for the Paso groundwater base. Trying to keep that money local and targeted at high-priority things. And then lastly, I would add that Taya Tryon, our enforcement coordinator here in the Central Coast region, is here to answer any questions you might have about the report.
Dr. Hunter?
Just following up on that, this period for Paso, in which 165 violations occurred, what time frame for that? Oh, December 1 through March 31, so about 12, 15 months?
Actually, I'd have to double check, but when we say that these are the these are the orders that were issued.
3 months, yeah.
During that doesn't mean that's when the violations occurred. They occurred much earlier.
Okay, so really.
It takes some time,
yes,
to process them and go through settlement discussions, et cetera. And actually, these ones are probably, I think, about a year old.
So this is, I made a calculation error, 4 months. This table covers 4 months, during which the 165 violations moved through the process and then surfaced to the report.
No, the 4 months represent when the actual final orders were issued.
Yep, okay.
Right, so I actually signed that in that 4 month window, but the violations were accrued a year or more ago, or before that even.
So is there a projection? Is there a problem with their system that they had such a high level?
Yeah, they were transitioning to a different treatment system, enhancing their treatment system.
Okay.
So these cover there's a lot less violations now.
But they're still reporting violations.
Well, it's a pretty large system, so there's always some violations. Can't run it perfectly when you have those large systems.
Mm-hmm. So, but we wouldn't see on the magnitude of hundreds.
You never know.
unlikely. So they're working through the sort of the shakedown of a relatively new plant,
mm-hmm,
and they were trying to perfect disinfection kind of at the back end of the treatment system. And they think they have it under,
mm-hmm,
control now. They think they've worked out the way to not get violations and still get the treatment desired.
And these are minimum monetary penalties, so we don't really have flexibility. Every effluent violation that is identified, we have to assess the $3,000 minimum,
mm-hmm,
monetary penalty.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, very good, thanks.
I do have a question. Mr. Johnson?
So Paso Robles, do they discharge into the Salinas River? I know they're right by it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that those 165 65 violations. So we saw those earlier as notices of violations.
Potentially, this is Taya's new format. In the old format,
I remember lists and lists.
Presented as clearly as they were. They probably came by.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that mass data dump that we used to do, if you recall,
right,
the attachment.
Yeah, I remember discussing why there were so many there at the time. So now, just to understand the new format, so now they would show up as, first as recent violations pending staff review without an identification as to the discharger, which is on page 5.
Right, if you look at the last table, the recent violations pending further enforcement staff review, they're also done during a different time period. They're from October 1st, 2016 through December 31st, 2016. And these are all reported into CWIX. So what happens is the discharger reports a violation in CWIX, and then program staff go through, evaluate reports to determine if those violations are accurate or if there are violations that are missing. Once program staff have identified those, they move them forward to the enforcement team to take action on or to review them. So what we've done, instead of downloading all that raw data from CWIX,
mm-hmm,
that hasn't really been thoroughly vetted by program staff and enforcement staff, what we've done instead now is categorize them into what types of violations they are. Because
mm-hmm,
the other issue is that we can't really talk about pending enforcement actions, and that's kind of what was happening, because the data dump is there, but we haven't really reviewed them yet, so we don't know whether we're going to take enforcement action
right,
or not.
Right, these are often self-reported.
So that's why we've kind of categorized them, because it's not as meaningful yet, because we haven't done that thorough evaluation yet to see if they're even valid violations.
Okay, and if they are, then they'll show up in Table 3, Notices of Violations.
Yeah, so these are all the in Tables 1, 2, and 3, especially 1 and 2 for this report are actually the administrative civil liability orders. And it can sometimes be months of negotiation,
right,
evaluation.
But there will typically be a notice of violation before that, right?
Yes.
So they would show up in Table 3 as a notice of violation, and then would either be resolved or dropped on our part if they convinced us, or it would end up in Table 1 or 2.
Right.
Okay.
So the notices of violation is we term it as informal,
mm-hmm,
and it's an information gathering process. So maybe say we learn of a sanitary sewer spill, and we issue a notice of violation saying, hey, we want to know more about this spill, can you give us the technical details? Or maybe that's not a great example, but notices of violation are kind of like information gathering to help
sure,
us evaluate.
Sunland Garden Products, failure to design sediment basin properly. When we go over it with them, we may actually decide that's not a violation.
Right, or there was misinformation, and or they reported it wrong, and that's just a just gathering more information.
Or after the NOV, they move back into compliance, and we can let go. You know, the ultimate goal here is getting people back into compliance, whether it means all the way through to Table 1 in the ACL, or whether we can resolve it at an NOV level, or even before then.
So we're not here just to mess with the dischargers?
Yeah.
So then the other thing that happens is we can't follow up on every single enforcement potential. We prioritize, and we have to prioritize like any other unit in our office. And so we deal with the ones that are a threat to our quality. We have to deal with MMPs because that's the law. Or we deal with ones that are really affecting the integrity of the program. Maybe they're not hugely water quality impacts. Maybe it's like missing to submit a report, but it affects the integrity of the program. We expect everybody to comply with the permits. And so we do a continual prioritization every quarter to see what comes up to the top, what we need to deal with, 'cause there's more than we have, there's more than we.
I found the new format, I found it a little less sleep inducing, a little easier to get an o- kind of an overall picture of what's going on and to kind of pinpoint things that I really wanted to understand more about, so I appreciated it.
Right, and I think the summaries just kind of help you understand what was that thing before we just kind of listed them, and this kind of helps you understand what the issue was, like failing to enroll into the permit, that type of thing. And then the penalty amounts and how much is going to fund projects in GAF.
All right, I think we have one more question from Ray, no, Mary Delgado.
Very brief question, very brief comment. So if a given city fails to submit an annual report, is it an automatic $1,300 fine?
No. We evaluate why, and we go through the process in determining if this was an intentional avoidance of submittal. So we go through each case independently, determine, you know, if we should pursue enforcement to get him into compliance. Was it because there was a staff change and they just didn't have someone that was experienced enough to know that it was due on that date? And sometimes we'll work with them, or we go through settlement discussions and we resolve it. It all depends. All
right. So I'm going to say our goal is to get him into compliance. Starting to sound like a broken record, but and so that might start out with the question, why didn't you submit? You know, and again, we're just trying to nudge him along, and sometimes it's a kick and sometimes it's a gentle nudge into compliance.
Well, thank you. And my brief comment is that I'm sorry that a certain city marina did not succeed in submitting its annual report.
Yeah, because you really don't want to deal with it anyway.
I was just going to say that actually it depends on which county we're talking about. Monterey County tend to
Renegade
something. So actually, I'm going to make that little comment and then I'll say, no, say, Bob, you gave me an opening. So, a question that I have for Mr. Robinson is, with Paso Robles, you know, we provided them, in lieu of a fine, you know, the availability to use funding for the study. When that agreement was drafted, was there a timetable and some, you know, good constraints? Because, you know, I want to make sure when we have ACLs and we agree on certain things that the system doesn't get abused.
Yeah, with respect to making a determination, so I'm going to speak from a fragile memory, I'll call it.
You'll be totally forgiven.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. As I recall, I think we talked about putting in a two-year, I'm looking around for Michael because we talked about this, a two-year timeline to understand exactly and articulate what that project was going to be. And then outside that timeline, we would consider revisiting at mutual request. And the default is this money heads towards down. The amount that was identified for a Sigma plant implementation or model development would revert to GAAP in the absence of a specified project in a two-year time window. And we left the option open that we could extend that too if we determined that was appropriate to extend. Like if we're close to a decision, it makes sense to extend the time allowance.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And I ask the question because, you know, I think, you know, with penalties, and then when we do provide, you know, an incentive for local projects, you know, that has to be done in good faith, in the part of the, you know, the folks who basically receive the fine. And, you know,
also was looking at funding to perform the analysis of how much for water would be sold. And basically what came out is with the hope to sell the water at a 10% reduced rate from potable water. And you know, I look at that, and just like everybody else in this room, we're all, you know, taxpayers. It's using taxpayers' money to monetize projects. And that doesn't quite pass my sanity check.
I would also add, and certainly there were, in years past, problems with supplemental environmental projects either not being appropriately tracked or not meeting appropriate goals. In 2009, the State Water Board's Office of Enforcement promulgated the SET policy, which, you know, I'm sure when you're working through, it has specific findings as to financial accountability, nexus to water quality violations that need to be met. And I'm sure you worked with Jessica
attorneys
to make sure that
we've gone
met.
Through midnight
yeah.
programs with those, yeah.
yeah.
But you know what, the you can set up a SEP, right? You set the fine, but ultimately when you have a settlement and they say, okay, you know what, we're gonna carve out $250,000 and you can use for XYZ project, that's the part that becomes a little more brittle. You know, the SEP is pretty well defined, you know, it's formula driven, etc., and everybody makes a conscientious effort of going through the calculation and the agony of what is fair and equitable. But I just want to make sure, and this is not for this project specific, but you know, you're enforcement, so you know, we got to make sure that when we sign agreements that we really prevent what I call the wiggly room of someone abusing the system.
Right, and we've had some offline conversations about this, of how we, you know, we learn, okay, now we're wiser, we tighten up the program again. Yeah.
Thank you. So, no further questions. So, here, thank you very much, appreciate it. So we have two choices, Mr. Robertson. We go right through the next item, or we take a break. What's your pleasure?
Well, I'll leave that to the board. Break.
Break. We've just been overruled by the vice chair. Break. and we'll let's reconvene. But we'll